Praise the Lord. That's good singing. Amen. You know why it's good singing? Because it's a good subject. Amen. It's what we're singing about. All right, welcome this morning. What a blessing. What a blessing it's been for my wife and I this week to be with you again, as always. It has been every time. We look forward to coming. And we schedule every couple years. We're on the schedule for 2021. If the Lord doesn't come back, we will. If you look at it like that, you won't be happy to see us pull in. You'll remember, oh, the Lord didn't come back. But He is coming. Amen. So 2 years seems like a long time, and it moves pretty fast. But out there it really moves fast. Wednesday through Sunday moves fast. And here we are at the last day. But I reiterate, it has been a joy and a pleasure to be with you again, and to see some of you growing, to meet some new faces, make some new friends, Christoffersons, for example, and others, and it's real been an honor and a pleasure for us. I want to acknowledge something here. That Friday night, a group of mostly girls, Asher was there, but mostly girls wanted to see that little Jack Russell Terrorist that travels with us. And one of them asked me, Brother Spurgeon, are you coming to the ladies' meeting? My wife spoke yesterday morning. And I said, well, no. And they said, well, you can be in the nursery with us. Because they're watching the kids. And I said, well, I've never had an offer like that. I said, what are you guys going to be doing? And they said, well, what do you prefer, coloring books or board games? And I said, I never won a board game in my life, so coloring books sound good. So, well, okay, you come. And I said, well, I actually have to go somewhere else, and I can't make it. But I did appreciate the invitation. Last night, a large group of girls surrounded me back there at my book table, and I'd like those girls to stand right now. You know who you are. Stand up if you're one of them. Come on, there was about 100, felt like. There's a couple. Come on. There you go. Come on. There's more than that. All right. Maybe there wasn't because I'm old. What's that, Miss Barb? They're putting her in. Oh, I ain't waiting for them. So we're. Hey, you back there. Amen. Here's what they did. They came and they presented me with my own coloring book. Yeah. And a bag of pretzels, which my wife immediately confiscated. She said, who brought contraband? I mean, she could be a fed. I'm telling you. And then they gave me not just a coloring book. What good's a coloring book? You have to have crayons. So they gave me my own pack of crayons. All black. Thank you, ladies. You can sit down. Thank you for thinking about me. I'm going to tell you what, that registered. And when I recall how good God's been to me, I'm going to look at that coloring book and maybe pull out one of them black crayons and stay in the lines? Yeah. Well, the thing with a black crayon is you're making the lines as you go. So you're always in the lines. Take your Bibles this morning and go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We're glad you're here this morning. Amen. Acts chapter 8. Look with me in verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. That's a pretty good thing. The angel of the Lord's speaking to Philip, and what he's done here is giving him a general call. Philip had surrendered his life to the service of the Lord. Matter of fact, he's the only man specifically referred to as the evangelist. He's an evangelist. Amen. And I don't know if he was ever a pastor, but if he never was, I wonder how he feels about some people's thoughts on the subject. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's okay. All right, so the angel of the Lord gave Philip some direction, and here's the direction. He said, arise and go toward the south. Now, I'm an evangelist. I've been in full-time on the road for 22 years, and I see something in that passage perhaps you don't see, but I see from the passage that it must be late fall or early winter. Because obviously the angel of the Lord told him to go toward the south. Somebody said, oh, Brother Spurgeon, does your ministry is determined by the weather? You try getting your water from a garden hose when it's 30 below and let me know how that goes for you. And by the way, thank you, not really, for whoever turned our water off yesterday. Amen. We do have a pump, and I went out and turned the water on. Why would somebody do that? I wouldn't be playing around with the electrical cord if I was you, though. That's 220. Amen. All right, so Philip has been given a general call to head toward the south. We're going to pick it up in verse 27. And what I want to preach on this morning is the three men that'll be in the passage between here and the end of the passage, end of the chapter. And so this is the story of three men, and they're very different men. Just for a synopsis, whatever that means, verse 27, you'll see it says, behold, a man. And you drop down to verse 31, and he says, how can I accept some man? And then you go on down a little further, verse 34, and at the end of the verse it says, of whom speaketh the prophet thus, this, of himself, or of some other man. So there they are, three men. Let's go, Lord, again. Father, I love you. Thank you for grace. Thank you for just meeting with us these last few days, and pray, God, that you'd see fit, bear witness to your word of this day. And there's needs in here, many, and you know them, and you can meet them, and the only hindrance is us. And I pray, God, we'd yield our spirit for a few minutes this morning to hear what you've got to say, and then consider it well, and then act accordingly in such a way that it'll be pleasing to you and beneficial to us. Lord, there's somebody in here that's not saved. I pray you'd make it easy for them to see they need to get really saved. Sunday morning religion, it's rampant across the country. That is not salvation. Salvation is believing in your heart that Jesus Christ shed his blood to keep you from going to hell. Now that's the reality of the thing. And I'm reminded to thank you here publicly that 28 and a half years ago you sent a man to a county jail to tell a guy who was on his way to prison for a long time he had bigger problems in prison. Now, people roll into churches on occasion because they got problems and are looking for a quick fix, but they got really what they've got is bigger problems than whatever it is they're worried about. And Lord God, it's to the shame of churches across the country that they're not telling people about their big problems. And that's the wages of sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And again, I thank you for somebody who had the guts to tell me the truth, and I pray for churches across America that have the guts to tell people the truth, that they would continue to stand there on. Bless the message this morning, God. If anything goes right, we're going to give you the credit for it. And I just pray, God, you'll be pleased with us, for I pray it in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, three men, verse 27. Now, the first thing it says is, he arose and went. Now, we had the angel of the Lord speaking to Philip in verse 26, and here it is, real deep in this thing. He did it. He did what he was told. Amen. It says, and behold, a man, number one, of Ethiopia, and eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, we don't get the guy's name. It doesn't tell us his name, but it tells us some things about him, some pretty significant things about him. He is a powerful man. It says right in the passage that he was a man of great, and eunuch of great authority. He must be a trustworthy man and pretty smart. He's in charge of the money. Of course, to be in charge of the money in the United States government doesn't require you to be very smart, I noticed. But this guy, I'm going to give him credit. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's an educated man and he's a religious man. Now, he just come from Jerusalem. He's on his way home. Now, I want you to know something. The capital of Ethiopia at this day and age was a town in, actually, it was northern Sudan. And it was called Meroe. And it was a good 1,000 miles. And, you know, the Gaza Road went on for a while. But after that, it's pretty much open country. And this guy in a chariot, and he's managed to make it to Jerusalem 1,000 miles at least. And now he's on his way back home. And I read that, and I think, you know, shame on anybody that doesn't come to church because it's raining. or some lame excuse like that. This is a religious guy. Amen. He's a Jewish proselyte, obviously. And he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And I look at him and I think he's probably comparable to many folks in churches, maybe somebody here today, that probably a great, great person. There's nothing negative about him. It says in verse 28, was returning, so he's gone home, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. So here he's made this journey, and he probably feels real good about himself, but he's on his way home, and he stopped in the desert, and what's he doing? He's reading his Bible. Well, he's reading what Bible he's got. He's got a portion of Scripture out of the book of Isaiah, and he's reading it. And I want you to remember something. This guy's Ethiopian, and the Scripture that he's reading was in Hebrew. So he must be either pretty smart or at least diligent enough to try to figure it out. And that reminds me that we have the infallible Word of God in our own language, and we don't stop from our daily normal routine like we should to read our Bible in our own language. That's a good place for an amen, both of them. Thank you very much. And this guy obviously was not satisfied with the religious experience he just had in Jerusalem, even after all that effort. Amen. He knew something was still missing. And it's obvious to me from the passage that he was searching for what was missing, and the Lord took note of that and sent him Philip, sent him someone that would tell him the truth. And you might be like him in here this morning. You might be intelligent and honest and hardworking and successful and even religious. But if you were to die today, you don't know where you'd spend eternity. You may hope you'd go to heaven. You may pray you'd go to heaven. You may think you'd go to heaven. You may feel, but you don't know. You don't know on the authority of the Word of God where you go. And I say this. If you made it into our midst this morning because you're searching for the truth, your religious experience didn't do it for you, well, you've come to the right place. Because that's all we've got here. We got the orchestra is wonderful, but this isn't some flowery, soothing, make you feel good about yourself place. This is just a place where God is established here years ago to proclaim the truth. The Bible said, "You shall know the truth; the truth shall make you free." Amen. So if you come here and you're searching for what's missing, you come to the right place because that's all we got. We're going to open the Word of God and we'll tell you about what's missing. All right, so we're talking about three men this morning, and the first man is a good man. All right, there's nothing in his resume that causes me to think otherwise. He's a religious man, so he would have been in church this morning too. But he's not saved, not yet. And if you're in here, and we're glad you're here, but if you're in our midst this morning and you're not saved yet, we're glad you're here because you can be. Man number one represents you. Man number one represents you. A good man, churchy guy, not a Christian. All right, verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Now, we had his general call in verse 26. The angel of the Lord said, "Go, arise and go toward the south." And he went. And the passage records that he arose and that he went. And because he did, guess what happened then? Then the Lord narrowed that down and gave him a specific call. You know, like some people wander both their Christian life with a desire to serve God, but they never exactly really ever get it nailed down what they're supposed to do. It's because they didn't respond to the general call. Why would he give you a specific call? Amen. I mean, to hear the still small voice of God when it comes to service, you've got to turn down the volume of the junk in your life. You've got to be sensitive and submitted. See, what we do is we establish our agenda and then we wait for God to call us. I go down to Pensacola, and people say, "Oh, Brother Burton, I think I'm going to be an evangelist." Yeah, 19, huh? Okay, good luck with that. Amen. "I think I'm going to be a youth pastor. I think I'm going to be." They said, "What do you think?" I said, "What I think is, what I did was, I laid my life on an old-fashioned altar, and I told God he could do anything with it he wanted. I didn't tell God what I wanted him to bless. I gave it to him because I'd already been blessed." So Philip gets a specific call, and let me just say this before I move on. When was the last time the Spirit, that's what it says, then the Spirit, capital S, when was the last time the Spirit talked to you? Not a Spirit. There's other spirits, that's for sure. When was the last time the Spirit ever impressed you to hand out a tract? Amen, or witness to somebody, or invite them to church? Not because you're supposed to. We all know what we're supposed to do. But I mean, has it ever been real where you knew God wanted you to talk to somebody? Maybe you were busy. Maybe you responded and you were glad you did. Invited somebody to church and they came, gave somebody a track and you knew God was in it. Listen, we're supposed to be sensitive and to be witnesses, all that. But I'll tell you what, it's really something when you know it's of the Lord. But you got to look for that kind of thing. Amen. Philip did. He looked for it. He asked God for opportunities, and that's what he lived for. Say, how do you know? Look at verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him. Spirit said, go to this guy, go to this chariot, and Philip ran. I mean, he wasn't going, oh man, I hope he likes me. I hope he doesn't. He just ran. He was looking for opportunities. Amen. You know what happens to a lot of Christians these days? The Spirit of the Lord bears witness to something and they run, all right? They run the wrong way. Amen. Philip, we're talking about him here, used mightily of God because he ran the correct way. Amen. Which way are you running? No, that's not the invitation. Moving on. All right? So, it says in verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? So Philip hears him. And he knows what he's reading. He perceives that he's religious. In other words, he knows what he's reading. Amen. Perceives that he's religious, but also that he's lost because he hasn't. Understandest what thou readest? I mean, tell you what, you can knock on a door and say, are you saved? People say, yes. I'm going to tell you what, a lot of people that say that, they're hoping they're saved. They don't know they're saved. If you leave it at that, if you don't ask them what they're trusting in, I can't imagine why anybody that's really a child of God would say would be offended when you ask them, well, tell me how you got saved. Why would you? I tell you what, you ask somebody that can't answer that question, they'll get mad at you. Well, it's personal. Yeah, it sure is, man. It was so personal that Jesus Christ left heaven, came down here, was publicly beaten and nailed to a cross for your sin. It's personal, all right. You better, if you ever made it personal, you wouldn't be ashamed of it. Amen. That wasn't in my notes, but I think I'm going to pencil it in case. He said, understandest what thou readest. And in a response, the Ethiopian response in verse 31 was this: how can I, except some man should guide me? I thank God that this guy was an honest man. He is willing to admit he needed some help. Good thing he didn't look down on this evangelist. I mean, did he even have shoes on? Where did he come from? He didn't have a chariot. He appeared out of nowhere. And thank God that this probably pretty well-to-do guy, he's the treasure of a nation, didn't look back and say, run along, sonny. What can you possibly do for me? You ever had that happen? If you've done much personal work, you've been blown off before. I've been downtown in cities preaching on the street. Down there, the girls will sing or hold signs, and people will come out of their offices to get lunch on during lunch hour. And I was there one day, and three guys in suits are walking there, and I said, can I give you something to read about what the Lord did? And they were rude, and they just blew it off. And kept on going. Yep. They went about 15 feet, and there's my little girl, about 8 years old, and she's standing there, and these same three guys, and she goes, can I give you something to read about my dad? And they went, oh, thank you, honey, and she gave every one of them a tract. God's got a sense of humor. Amen. Amen. But thank God this guy was honest enough. Listen, I'm telling you what, there's people in hell right now because, and some right from a church pew, because they want to admit they needed help. Let me tell you something here. I don't know everybody in here today, but don't let pride keep you from being honest with yourself. Amen. Had not some man come along to guide him, well, he probably wouldn't have went through the rest of his life. Hard working there for the queen and running the business of the country, the financial business of the country, maybe every year, maybe more than once a year. He'd make this journey and then read his Bible, read his scripture, and just he could do that for the rest of his life. Good, honorable, decent, moral guy. Just like people in churches all over America today. And guess what? At the end of his life, he'd have busted hell wide open. Just like people do all the time today. So if you're in here and you're saved, this second man, okay, the first man, he's the lost man, good man, but the second man is the Christian, and he represents you, if you're a Christian, and he's the one or let me say it like this, can you be the some man to guide a lost man to Jesus Christ? You're supposed to be. So you got three men in the passage. Now, the first one represents a lost person, and if that's you in here today, we're glad you're here. And if you're searching for the truth, you'll find it. And don't be put off by me. Pastor Stevens is the pastor here. He'll be preaching here next week. He's much more eloquent than me, but the message is the same. It's Jesus Christ or hell. And we make no apology for it. Right? So the first man's lost man, and the second man is in the passage a saved person who's able to help. And that I'm sure. I mean, I've been coming here 12 years. I know that's many of you. Well, we got three men in the passage, and the third man is by far the most important. Now, verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Could I say to you, it was definitely some other man. There's only one man that ever lived had a testimony like that. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, Isaiah 53, and look what it says, and preached unto him Jesus. All right? I want you to notice, I didn't begin by pointing out everything he was doing wrong. Well, you know, first of all, you work in a for a heathen queen and that worships the wrong thing, and look at the way you're dressed, and you know you got this wrong, and you're following the Jewish religion here, and they're the one that crucified Jesus Christ, and you just need to get. I don't think he would have got very far if he'd have taken the same approach that I've seen some of our brethren take. The Bible's clear that says he preached unto him Jesus. You know what people need to know? They don't need to know what your idea or your opinion is about what they're doing wrong. They need to know about somebody that did everything, I said, everything right. Amen? Sometimes we pretend, some people get the idea that, well, if I'm going to win the lost world, I got to pretend to be more like them. If the guy that would have came to the county jail 28 years ago, I mean, he was a nerd. He was an ex-cop. I mean, he had a tie on. Oh, well, amen. Here I am in jail, covered with tattoos, hair down the middle of my back. If he'd have come in trying to pretend to be like me, I'd have blew him off. I can see through a phony a mile away. He didn't impress me at all. You know what did? What that book said. You know what changed my life? I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't go straight. That book said I was on my way to hell for my sin. And I got honest enough with myself and said, boy, if what that Bible says is true and hell's real, that's where I'm going. Amen. See, do you hear the key to that? Was I got honest with myself. And then I also acknowledged the fact that when that preacher was there and he pointed out some verses and I got nothing but time to kill, and it still took me 3 weeks from an invitation to the morning I bowed my heart to Jesus Christ. I saw that Bible also said that although I'm a hell-deserving sinner for sure, Jesus Christ died for sinners. And I had a struggle with the Lord, but if that could possibly include me, I want in on this. And he let me in on this. And I got, and I didn't know what, only thing I knew was that if my sins were forgiven, I wouldn't pay for them in hell. I was in jail. I was looking at federal prison time. I never expected to go to church. I never expected to make bond. I'd already been no bonded twice. Amen? I sure never saw this coming. I got out, I made bond, and I got out, and I went to church, and I went to that little church that brought the gospel to me. Amen? I'm loyal. Amen. You do me right, I don't forget it. I don't blow it off. Amen? I got no agenda of my own. Said, boy, if that person was honest to me, honest enough to me to tell me the truth, and I got all that truth, and I'm going to trust that person a little more than the next idiot that comes down the pike. You know, I don't care how flowery he is. I don't care how smooth he is. Matter of fact, I got a problem with them smooth talkers. Oh, yeah. That book says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I learned a long time ago, when people start telling you what you want to hear, make you feel good, they're after something. See, maybe some of you guys weren't on the street long enough to understand that, but it is in the Bible, and I'm telling you, I concur. Amen? And that preacher told me about Jesus Christ, and when I got saved, and when I went into church, Brother East Step, my pastor then, after about a week, he preached a message on heaven. Really nice. Good message on heaven, describing it right from the Bible. Amen? And I said, wow, that's amazing. I elbowed the guy next to me, and I said, that sounds really cool. What do you got to do to go there? He said, well, you got to be saved. He said, you're saved, aren't you? I went, you're kidding me. Not only am I not going to hell, I get to go there too. See, we get it wrong, see. We think, oh, Jesus came and so that you could get your marriage back together, or you could get off drugs, or you could have a good life, and then you could go to heaven. That book says he died for our sins. Jesus Christ came to keep us out of hell. We had a problem. That book says the wages of sin is death. Amen. That's an eternal death in the context, because the verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Philip preached unto him Jesus. He told him about somebody that did everything right. He probably told him success and power and hard work and education and being religious wasn't going to get him to heaven any more than it'll get anyone to heaven, any more than it'll get you to heaven if you're in here and you've never been born again. I got good news for you. Jesus will. Jesus will get you to heaven. That's what the whole thing was about. Making a way for our sins to be forgiven so we don't have to pay for them. Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, you know the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Amen. Not temporary life. Romans chapter 6 says, I'll read it again, the wages of sin is death, but the gift. It's a gift. Say, what do I got to do to earn it? Hello, it's a gift. Amen? If you could get into heaven any other way besides trusting in Jesus Christ, that's what you'd be bragging on when you got to heaven. And listen, he puts up with us getting in on, horning in on his glory down here, taking credit for things he does down here. He ain't going to be putting up with that in heaven. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He knows us. Amen. He knows us and went to the cross for us anyway. That blows my mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3 says, Paul wrote, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. People said the Bible's not important. Looks pretty important to me. Who would want to de-emphasize the importance of the Word of God? Oh, go back and read Genesis chapter 3 again, and you'll find out exactly who that is. That's a stinking devil. Somebody amen that. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm glad he did too. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Paul's gone. Me and you have been jockeying for position of chief of sinners ever since. Amen. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Period. You don't add to it. You don't take away from it. You get a hold of it right there. I had a guy in jail one time say, Brother Spurgeon, what? Well, he probably didn't call me that. What does it mean to believe in your heart? And I tried to come up with something. And I said, well, here's how it is. If everybody in the history of the human race, from the first person to the last, was on their way to heaven, except you, he would have came down here from heaven. He'd have took that beating. He'd have let them nail him to the cross. He'd have done everything he did for you. That's what it means to believe in your heart. That's what a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is about. People don't like the wording of the King James Bible. I went to jail and they said, well, I gave him a Bible and I went back 2 weeks later and he had a different version. And I said, well, you know, and hey, I understand. You got to work with the jails. I said, what happened about liking it? Well, this other guy came through, and he said, this one will be easier to understand. And so I'm playing along. I says, okay, oh, really? What part of that King James Bible were you having a problem with? You know what they say? They always say the same thing. He said, you know, the these and the thous. And I said, well, let me help you with that. It means you. That's real tough. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's personal. You ever get a hold of that? See, Philip preached unto him Jesus. I got my opinions. You got your opinions. Praise the Lord. God bless America. You can have all the opinions you want. Where the rubber meets the road is the difference between heaven and hell is determined by what you do with Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Philip preached unto him Jesus. You got three men in the passage, very different men. If you're not saved, we're glad you're here. But you're like man number one. And you need to know the very same things he did. The fellow over there in Acts 16 says, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You ever come to God with that much honesty? He'll save you. He can work with you. Amen? If you're saved in here, you're supposed to be man, like man number two, able to guide people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you? Here's what I know about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Many of you can. So then the question would be, are you? Are you? So that makes the invitation for everyone here this morning. If you're not saved, would you let us open a Bible to answer your question, show you what it says, guide you, not to our church, not to our denomination, fooey on all that, guide you to Jesus Christ. That's who we need. And if you are saved and you haven't been the witness you should be, and gee, it's funny how this keeps coming out in different messages every night, right? Because I'm supposed to provoke all of us to do what we're supposed to do for Christ. You know, we were talking earlier back there, the devil's fighting harder than ever because he knows his time is limited. Why doesn't that apply to the church of Jesus Christ? That book says in Ephesians, redeeming the time for the days are evil. How come we're not fighting harder than ever because the days are limited? We're just trying to ride it out. I don't want to ride it out. I want in on a good fight because of what Jesus Christ did for me. I can't, don't want to get over. And I am so unspiritual in and of myself and know it and admit it that I need to be around other Christians to keep sharp. Iron sharp iron. And I got news for you. So do you. Amen. So let's stand. Stand if you're able. Stand if you want to. Close your eyes. If you want to, you don't have to. I ain't going to make you do nothing. But whatever the need, of the needs that I mentioned, Lord Jesus Christ can meet them. Amen. If you're not saved in here, you need to be saved. Maybe you're not familiar with terminology. I'm not going to give a sales pitch. I'll just say this. We'd be happy to help you in any way we can. If the Spirit of God bore witness to anything in your heart and you'd like something clarified or more information or just an opportunity to pray and get honest with God, somebody to pray with you, I would be happy to do that. But that's your call. If you're in here and you're saved, you got the message. Amen. Time to step up to the plate. And again, I'm going to say it again, and I want to say it again. Some of you are at it, and stay at it. Stay at it. Amen. It's not over yet. All right. You know, actually, there's a fourth man in the passage. That Ethiopian eunuch, he got saved. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and got baptized in that order. And he went away rejoicing. And I say, who's that? That's the new man. That Ethiopian eunuch went from lost man to a saved man. He became a new man in Jesus Christ. And boy, I'll tell you what, this would be a great day for you to become a new man, new woman in Jesus Christ if you're not. And then no matter what happens, you'll be okay. Now you think about it. Pastor's going to come. You listen to him. And you respond to the Spirit of God. Preacher?